All right, if you would this morning, turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and I'm going to start out with a verse that we used last week, but we're going to go kind of a different direction with the verse today than we did last week. And it has to do with the grace of God, and as usually the messages do, but some specific things about the grace of God in the life of the believer. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Now in those four verses there, they're very interesting in the way they're laid out, because in verse number 11, we have what grace brought. Grace brought salvation to a people that had never had the hope of salvation previous to the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. What grace taught is in verse 12, and that's what we talked about last week, and we're going to be talking about that over the next a couple of months on different Sundays. And that is that it taught not what people says that it taught. It does not teach us that we should simply live any way we want to, but it says teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then in verse 13, we have what grace wrought. What did grace wrought? Well, it wrought a hope, that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then in verse 14 is what grace sought. And it sought a peculiar people zealous of good works. Now today I want to deal primarily with verse number 1, or verse number 11, the first thing. And that is the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Now, sometimes the all men throws people off a little bit, but don't let that distract you, because there are a couple of ways you can understand that. Number one is in the context in which it's written. Paul is addressed young men, old men, young women, old women, and servants. In verse 9, exhorts servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. In other words, I think what Paul said personally, and you may have a different take on this, is that the grace of God has not only appeared to the older men, the younger men, the older women, younger women, but also to servants. In other words, all men without exception. And it could apply, obviously, to all the men that Paul knew about, the world as he knew it at that time. But regardless of that, the importance of the verse is that the grace of God bringeth salvation. Now, that's important for several reasons. Number one, because of the people that the grace of God was brought to. In other words, look back in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2. Now, you know, it's always important that we understand, folks, that there has never been a time in the history of the world from the beginning of Adam that the grace of God was not involved in the salvation of mankind. We know that people quote all the time, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Listen, it would require a gracious God to provide salvation for any man in light of what we are in our flesh and what we are in Adam. For by one man, sin entered the world, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so, because of what we are in Adam, we are sinners apart from God, and that has been true since the fall in the garden. And it is a gracious act of God Almighty. You know, we contrast the grace and the law, but you know, the giving of the law was in effect a gracious act of God Almighty toward the nation Israel. The giving of the law was a gracious act because it revealed unto them God's righteous standard of judgment. And they needed that. And Paul said, even in his writing, that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Well, what is the lawful use of the law today in the dispensation of grace? It is to show that men are sinners. It is to show that we are in Adam. And in Adam, all men are condemned. By one man, condemnation came upon all men. But by one man, justification of life, or justification also came upon all men through Jesus Christ. But in Ephesians 2, Paul addresses a unique group of people here. And he says some things that are very much indicative of the kind of people that Paul's revelation of grace brought salvation to. You see, there was salvation for the Gentiles all the way through the Bible. As a matter of fact, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But there was an order that had to be followed in order for that to take place. And not only was there an order to be followed, but there was a certain kind of Gentile that would respond to the message there of the kingdom. And those are the people you find in Matthew 25 that are blessing Israel and acknowledging Israel as God's people. There's another group of people in your Bible during the time of Christ and during the time of the Apostle Paul and Peter and James and John. And that group of people are Gentiles who are they basically hate the nation Israel. They're involved in idolatry. And they are not about to bless Israel by any stretch of the imagination. These are the people that Paul's talking about in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, if you want to find you in the Bible, that's a good place to start right there. That's you. That's me. These are people that he says we were without Christ. Why? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You know, you stop right there, and that's a sad commentary. That's a sad position for people to be in. Think about this. Think about the statement that is made there, that you're without Christ, you're aliens from Israel, you're strangers from the covenants of promise, and you have no hope and without God in the world. But then somebody comes along and says, but now. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Folks, that's the glory of the grace of God. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. Well, who did it bring it to? It brought it to all men. It brought it to all that would, in other words, whereas before there were certain, these people obviously had been excluded. I mean, if the Bible means what it says, they were without hope. They're without God. And yet, now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. What a wonderful, glorious message that the grace of God bringeth salvation to all men. So it's a wonderful, glorious truth because of who it brought salvation to. And it's also a wonderful and glorious message because of when it brought salvation. You see, the Bible says when we were without Christ in due time, when we were without God in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Look over in Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets, by the Spirit. You know, folks, it seems awfully difficult for me to understand how it is that people can't simply believe the words there that are written on the page many times. Paul said that there was a message that is now being made known, and in other ages it was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So this message of grace, the grace of God that brings salvation, is not a message that had always been preached. It is what Paul calls in Romans 16, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Look, if you will, in Romans 16 and get also Acts chapter 3. I want you to notice the stark contrast in these two verses. And it's important that people understand this because, listen, folks, the confusion in most of the world today in relation to salvation, in relation to the Word of God, is a failure to understand that we're operating under a different program in Ephesians 3 called the dispensation of the grace of God. We're not under the law. We're not under that kingdom program, and we're not preaching the kingdom gospel. You see, your Bible is laid out such that when you look in the Old Testament and you find the fall of man there in Genesis chapter 3, from that time forward, there is a restoration process, if you will, that is outlined there. And God, through His prophets, outlines, beginning particularly in Genesis chapter 12, with the calling out of Abram, who is later Abraham, God lays out His plan for restoring a godly kingdom upon this earth through a nation called Israel of Jewish people. And in those prophecies, he foretells all that's going to happen in the relation of coming of Christ. You understand? He foretells all that's going to happen in relation to the coming of Christ and the tribulation and the kingdom and all those kind of things as far as Israel is concerned. Now, in Acts chapter 3, in verse 21, Peter's been preaching there. It starts out in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. You get over to Acts chapter 3, and again he's preaching there, and it's a murder indictment, and it is interesting, the audience that he's preaching to there in verse 12, Acts 3 verse 12. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?" Verse 14, "But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder be granted unto you." Look down in verse 18, "But those things which God before has showed," now notice, "But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all of His prophets that Christ has suffered, He is so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you," now notice, "whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began." So are the things that Peter is preaching here things that were spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since the world began? Either that or Peter just don't know what he's talking about. But since the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, I'd have to say that it's since the world began that the prophets foretold of these things. Now, over in Romans chapter 16, hold on there in Acts 3. I want to read it one more time for you. God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. In Romans chapter 16, verse 25, "Now to Him that is a power to establish you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." Is that which is spoken since the world began the same as that which was kept secret since the world began? Couldn't be, could it? There have got to be two completely separate and distinct programs. One, I mean, you're talking about confusion with understanding your Bible. You look at those two verses, and one verse is talking about salvation that was spoken by the prophet since the world began. Another's talking about salvation that was spoken or that was hidden and was kept a mystery since the world began, and yet people want to say they're just the same thing. Makes no sense, does it? There was a mystery program, folks, and that program was not revealed until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. That's why he says in verse 25,